The United States has won its fourth Women's World Cup final. You would have heard that in the news, triumphing over the Netherlands with a 2-0 victory in the French city of Lyon. The Dutch held on until the second half before a penalty from veteran winger Megan Rapinoe and a fine run by Rose Lavelle, which sealed the deal.
It's Rapinoe against Van Veenendaal. It's 1-0. The USA 1, the Netherlands 0. Helped on by Mewis to Lavelle, the game's opening up. Rose Lavelle, lovely run, great goal! Brilliant goal! Rose Lavelle might have won the World Cup for the United States with a fantastic goal!
Well, she certainly did that. That was some commentary there of the two US World Cup winning goals. With the World Cup over, attention now turns to qualifying for next year's Olympics in Tokyo. Kate Gill is a former captain of the Matildas and is the deputy chief executive of the Professional Footballers Association, Professional Footballers Australia, I should say. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Kate.
Thanks for having me, Hamish.
This is the fourth World Cup win for the US, their first win on European soil. Was it a big surprise to you? I mean, they were the hot favourites.
Oh, they were definitely the hot favourites. And I don't think it was a surprise. What I found more surprising that it ended up being the US pitted against the European nations, which is quite complimentary to the way that they're investing in their women's team and in the professional domestic leagues that they have running in Europe.
And obviously, most of the teams that made the final rounds were European. What does that tell you?
Yeah, it's exactly that. The teams that did make it, it was eight European teams all vying against the United States to lift the trophy at the end of the day. And I think it really does speak to the awakening moment that they've had over there and the resurgence of the game and the fact that all the historical clubs are really now investing in women's football. And I don't know if UEFA have stepped in and mandated that a majority of the teams need to start looking towards the women's game and focusing on that to secure Champions League berths and the funding that's around that. But it's been fantastic to see, and the stories and the kind of like the threads and anecdotal evidence that's come out of there is just fantastic to see it blossom.
Megan Rapinoe scored first a penalty, her sixth goal of the World Cup. It earned her the Golden Ball for top player and the Golden Boot for top scorer. She really has been the star of this World Cup, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has, and she's been the star both on and off the field. She's an exceptional player, and you can see that in the way that she plays the game. But she wears a heart and a sleeve, most definitely, and she stands up for the social issues, and she's not afraid to say what she thinks. And she's done that. She's challenged that. She's come out and she's spoken about FIFA and their lack of care and investment in the game, and then she's delivering on the field, lifting the World Cup trophy yet again.
And I suppose, given all the acrimony between the US players and their own federation, all the acrimony with the US president saying they didn't want to visit the White House if they won, I mean, they did actually get a congratulatory tweet from Donald Trump overnight. Do you think they've silenced some of their critics with this win?
I think a lot of the critics were never questioning whether they were going to win the World Cup. I think it's just another statement. It's just saying, yeah, we're going to deliver no matter what we do, and we'll do it how we want to do it, which I think is hugely complimentary to the girls and the team themselves.
There has been enormous television audiences during this particular World Cup. In Britain, the semi between England and the US drew almost 12 million viewers. That made it the most watched TV program of the year in Britain. Has this particular World Cup, do you think, changed the game in terms of audiences and the possibility of revenue and earnings for women in this sport?
I really do think it has. It's always been a question, and it always comes back to the economics and that the women aren't deserving of the same remuneration due to the fact that they don't generate revenue, and that comes down to eyeballs and visibility. And this World Cup speaks for itself. To deliver on the numbers that they have both within the stadia and then on television is phenomenal, and it's really time that we start looking and shining a light on the women's game, but doing it as its own product, standing on its own two feet. We need to start unbundling it and stop gifting it and actually looking at as a major asset. And FIFA could be so smart about the way that they invest in the women's game, and it could be exceptional just in participation growth as well, and then just to keep snowballing and building on it.
It's interesting, here on RN we had a conversation about the turnaround that you're describing with Tracy Holmes over the weekend, ABC broadcaster, sports journalist, commentator of this Football World Cup. And she actually credited you specifically with some of the key decisions that have been made that have started to turn the conversation about pay in women's sport, particularly with relation to football. Let's just listen to what she had to say.
Yeah, I also want to give some credit here to the PFA, the Players Association here in Australia, because it's the Australian Association that has led a lot of this. The Australian women's team boycotted playing in America a couple of years ago, which completely turned around pay negotiations here in Australia and got them a big improvement. And the Americans watched on with that and went, this is interesting.
Right.
The PFA has also been in France agitating with FIFA to address this across all women's sports.
That was Tracy Holmes speaking on Saturday Extra over the weekend. She particularly name-checked you, Kate Gill, and said that the things that you have been doing have actually made a very big difference.
That's very, very kind of her, but it sits within our organisation and the values and our members. We're just really there to support them, and the Matildas have been phenomenal in the way that they've stood up and asked for change, and we haven't got about it in a militant way or looking to clash heads. It's more just asking the questions and asking why and then looking for those answers and coming up with solutions and strategies as to how we can get there. And everyone knows we're on a journey. Things aren't going to change overnight, but it's about getting the right people in the right room and having a strategy and a vision and taking people on that journey. So I think we've done an exceptional job in support of the players to be able to deliver on that.
Do you acknowledge, though, that decisions that have been taken by the Australian players have actually influenced the world game?
Yeah, and that's how we've always looked at it. We've seen the Matildas as a vehicle for change, not just within Australia and not just with Australian women's sport, but globally. And with the pay equity claim that we've got running against FIFA at the moment, while the Matildas are delivering that, it's a claim that's going to help every female football and every female federation. So we look at the big picture.
FIFA has made great play of the fact that it's increased the prize money for the Women's World Cup. But it's still a pretty big gap between what the women win and the $400 million on offer for the Men's World Cup. What do you think of that gap?
Yeah, I think it's extraordinary. It is quite vacuous when you look at that. And it's only going to increase when the men go to Qatar, because it's going to jump to $440 million. And they're saying that they're doubling the women's to $60 million. And a lot of that within the money for the women's is also money that goes to the federation to help the preparation. So while the numbers aren't truly clear and reflective of what goes in the players' pocket, because then also they're given a percentage of the prize money. So the gap is just expansive. And if we're going to increase by those numbers, say we keep doubling the Women's World Cup prize money, it's going to take until 2032 before there's any form of parity.
Is that good enough?
Not at all. It's nowhere near good enough, especially when the amount of money that is sitting in FIFA's revenues is astronomical. It's billions. So they have the money to be able to do it.
You are a former Matildas captain. We were knocked out in the round of 16, much to everyone's disappointment, I suppose. But after the game, Sam Kerr said, these are the moments you grow and become stronger as a team. What do you think the lessons are that they're taking out of this experience?
Yeah, you do, but I think we need to reflect on where we're at as a footballing nation as well. The Matildas were never a team that kept possession. And if you look at the stats, and I know you can break it down and get bogged down in the numbers, but that team was stringing over 500 passes together and trying to play football. And that's going to take some time to how that plays out on the field and the players being comfortable with playing that system. But I think looking forward and projecting to the Tokyo Olympics, that team is going to be so ready and in medal contention.
And do you think the question of the coaching and all the decisions that were made that's still not entirely clear to the public, do you think that's going to stay with the Matildas for some time yet?
I don't think so. I think the Matildas themselves as a team put that to bed as soon as they got a new coach and moved on. Things in sport, they move fast-paced, especially when you're involved in the environment and you're in the team. It's the dialogue and the conversation that keeps coming up and re-emerging in the background. And rightly so, because people are still angry and they want answers, which is fine. But you also have to take a step back and think about how this conversation is affecting what's playing out for those players.
K, Kate Gill, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We appreciate you finding some time for us this morning.
No, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Kate Gill is a former captain of the Matildas and the Deputy Chief Executive of Professional Footballers Australia.